Well, I want to give you just a second to catch your breath, because what's coming up next is something very, very different as we move into the time for our message. So allow yourself to savor what we just had. And here we go.
Oh, Charlie, you're not an engineer. You're a big nothing.
I'm nothing? Why, I could be class president.
I could.
Charlie for president. Charlie, are you the most popular boy in your class?
You might say that.
You know, people say you're handing out a lot of sweet talk.
They're right. If I'm elected, there'll be good and plenty candy for everybody.
You, Charlie, go for president. Some kids will have a friend in government. When he wins, we'll all have lots of fun. And there'll be good and plenty candy for everyone.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says, delicious gifts are free. Charlie says, love my good and plenty. And a vote for good and plenty is a vote for me. Good and plenty, good and plenty.
Good and plenty, good and plenty, good and plenty, choo-choo, good and plenty, good and plenty, good and plenty. Well, I should have warned you that you could have lowered your mics and maybe somehow gotten rid of the picture. But I had to have some fun with this, you know, what the heck. Good and plenty. I had to shop for these things. To find them. They're not as easily available as they were when I was a kid. I guess I should start off by getting rid of this hat. But I guess I should really start off by apologizing for my choo-choo Charlie imitation. And for those of you who are not as well seasoned as some of us, a bit of an explanation might be in order. Choo Choo Charlie is a cartoon character that appeared in TV ads way back in the 1950s. And I've never been much of a licorice fan. As a kid, I sometimes would pop a Good and Plenty candy into my mouth, let the sugar coating dissolve, and then spit it out. But in any event, I always thought that Choo Choo Charlie was cool. So I played the video in which he was running for president, very apropos with elections, now just a couple of weeks away. Besides, it leads right into our talk today because our topic is good and plenty. And so our focus today is on abundance, a really well-used word and concept in Unity. And if we were writing a book, today's message might be a good follow-up chapter to last week when we talked about the nature of money. So for starters, I want to open with a question, and that is God all good all the time? Let me repeat it. Is God all good all the time? Now, you may want to think about that for just a bit and not just give a knee-jerk, well, yeah, of course God is all good all the time. I want you to give some serious thought into your answer, because if your answer is yes, then somehow you have to balance that answer with everything that you see and everything you might experience that just, well, doesn't always seem all that good. Here we are, knee-deep in a pandemic. We're closing in on 10,000 deaths just in our own state of Illinois. Our planet seems to be going to hell because of global warming. Fires are blazing in California, destroying plant life, animal life, and even some human life, as well as billions of dollars of damage in property. We have recently witnessed shootings, lootings, and a lot of instances of a flagrant disregard for human life. And all you have to do on any given day is turn on the television to get the disaster du jour. And in our lives, let's be honest, everything isn't peaches and cream and hunky-dory. On almost every human plane and in almost every human endeavor, it is not if, but when something will go wrong. I know I'm not mechanically inclined, but I can't do something as simple as change a light bulb without running into an aggravating glitch of some kind. And even in a good, healthy relationship, every once in a while, the wrong word comes out of our mouths and reaches the other person's ears before we can reel it back in. And we get sick. Loved ones get into trouble. And all kinds of trivial things just seem to pull and nag at us. Last week, somebody broke off and stole the side mirror from my son-in-law's car. As Rosanna Dana once said, it's always something. And even the Buddhists talk about, even during those times when we're not suffering from physical or emotional pain, we still feel a pain of being unfulfilled. Is God all good all the time? The reason this question is so important is that it relates directly to the second part of our message today, plenty. And don't get me wrong, regardless of how you answer that question, is God all good all the time, you still will get plenty. But plenty of what? If the universe and this planet that we live on are anything, it's plentiful. On a clear night, we can look up and see thousands of stars, a small fraction of the billions that light up the universe. And we live on a planet that is home to probably trillions of different life forms. And of course, there are plenty of earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis and obviously viruses. And we still have the downtrodden, the poor, and many in our human family who seem to have plenty of nothing. How we answer that question, is God all good all the time, has a direct bearing in terms of what we have plenty of. And we all know that we have this tendency to measure our abundance in terms of what we can accumulate. But wealth in and of itself isn't a bad thing. When I started doing business with people in Hong Kong, I came across dozens of businesses whose names, when translated into English, contained a single word, fat, as part of their names. There were names like Hot Fat, Ying Fat, Ho Fat. And at first, I didn't make the connection. And I asked one of my business partners why, and he explained to me that it meant prosperity or abundance. Even brand spanking new businesses would incorporate fat into their name as an affirmation of what they would become. And in one of my travels, I met a man from Russia, or what was then the Soviet Union, and he so desperately wanted to come to the United States. And I said, why? What's so important about it? And he said, I want to see the streets of gold. He believed that we were so prosperous that our streets were lined with gold. This was the reputation our nation had some 50 to 60 years ago. Today, not so much. But if our streets really were actually lined with gold, would it be decadence? Or would it be testimony to the abundance of God? And I'll answer that question with a question. Is God all good all the time. The gospel story that relates to abundance probably more than any other might be the story of the loaves and fishes. It's important enough that all four gospel writers included it in their scripts. And in the story, Jesus has been preaching to a crowd of people, of 5,000 people, basically all day long. And it gets late, and his disciples come up to him and basically say, you know, maybe we ought to call it a day so people couldn't go home and get something to eat. And Jesus responds by saying that he doesn't want to send the people home hungry. And he asks the question, what have we got? And he is told 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so he instructs his disciples to bring these to him. He lifts his eyes to heaven and blesses them, and then tells his disciples to distribute the food. Everyone is well fed, and when they are through, the disciples collect the leftovers as they have been instructed, and they manage to fill 12 baskets. There's much going on in this story and some really important metaphysics. To begin with, what I didn't share yet is the day's events begin with Jesus learning of the death of John the Baptist, obviously somebody with whom Jesus had a very close relationship and somebody that he loved very much. And for some of us, that type of an experience would serve to bring things to a halt, put things on hold, because we tend to compartmentalize when bad things happen. And it's difficult for us not to stay there and remain there and dwell on the pain. God knows I do this. But Jesus responds by maintaining his focus on his ministry. When the problem of feeding 5,000 people came up, Jesus didn't respond by acquiescing to the obvious picture in front of him, but instead went to the realm of possibilities and pragmatically asks, what is our starting point? What have we got to work with here? He then takes what is 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he goes from there. The story says that Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven and gives thanks. Metaphysically, this represents Jesus moving into and engaging with a higher consciousness. He blesses the food. And perhaps you have had some personal experience in this regard. Because it's really true that what we bless and give thanks for in our lives multiplies and becomes even more abundant. And the outcome? A very practical manifestation in the physical world. The hungry get fed. And then there are leftovers, 12 baskets of food, much more than what they had started with. Because God doesn't just provide what we need. God lavishes us with even more than enough. In the book of Zechariah, the Lord says, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. The word I want you to remember from that passage is the word remnant, because we're going to come up back to it in just a little bit. Is God all good all the time? I would like to answer that question as it relates to the 2 scripture passages just shared, but I will answer it first with still another question, and that is, are you all good all the time? because really it is true that God is all good all the time. Whatever that divine energy is that we call God, we are swimming in it. And I believe that it always and everywhere is about our highest and our greatest good. And it graces us, always, always, always inviting us to live our lives in splendor and in the plenty that is provided. Our way shower, Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. So yeah, God is good all the time. But that was the easier question to answer, really. What about me? What about you? Are you, am I, all good all the time? The Father may be anxious to give us the kingdom, but that doesn't mean that we accept it. To truly accept it, we have to answer yes to our own goodness. And maybe God needs a little bit of help from us in making us prosper, even if that help is nothing more than a thoughtful, divine yes. Eric Butterworth said, God could do no more for you than God can do through you. Imagine holding the winning lottery ticket for $500 million and not cashing it. Charles Fillmore once said, God has given us a blank check and we are afraid to cash it. That wall, that barrier that stands between us and our prosperity or abundance or all of the plenty isn't a lack of belief in God's goodness. It's the fear of acknowledging our own goodness, our own greatness, our own divinity. The underpinning message of the story of the loaves and fishes is that when we raise our conscience to a level that allows us to know our shared oneness with God, wonderful things happen. It is regarded as a miracle, perhaps only because such wonders don't seem to occur that often. But really they do. They do every day. The tragic news stories in 2020 may so far outnumber the feel-good stories that are reported. But they can't compare to the miracles of people caring for one another, sharing love. Those few stories that leak through the telecast every once in a while. But going back to the loaves and fishes, you might say, well, yeah, sure. But that was Jesus, who after all was the Son of God. Well, who isn't? Isn't the good news of the gospel that we all get to call God Father? Every Sunday we pray, Our Father, not Jesus' Father who art in heaven. And yeah, sometimes we mess up big time. We're all capable of doing dumb things. I doubt that there is one among us today that hasn't brought pain of some sort to someone else, a child, a parent, a friend, a stranger, a lover, and even to ourselves. That's why our approach to God historically has been, Oh Lord, I am not worthy. And sometimes we keep saying it and thinking it so much, it is so loud in our heads that we cannot hear God saying back to us, Yes, you are. And that's where the passage from Zechariah comes back in. The one key word in that passage is the word remnant. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, when the Israelites or the Jews would mess up and they would go astray, there always remained a remnant, a small group that held firm to who they were and to their relationship with God. This is true of each and every one of us. You can be the meanest, rottenest SOB in the world, but there is deep within you a remnant that God is champing at the bit to shower in love and abundance and an experience of plenty. Never, never, never are you too late, and never, never, never are you too little. The only place that you can properly separate yourself from God and the abundance of the kingdom of heaven is between your own ears. If we could only understand who and what we are, we could make feeding 5,000 people seem like child's play. The outer supply always rides on the wave of what is inside of us. Poverty and prosperity, like hell and heaven, are states of mind. Abundance is expanded consciousness, which means it's heaven, because heaven is expanded consciousness. And we all have the wherewithal, without exception, to go there. In preparation for my talk, Mary Norluzzi was kind enough to share with me a daily word going back to 1950. And the word that she found was prosperity. And I would like to share with you just a bit of the text from that daily word. God's bounty flows into our affairs in the form of dynamic ideas that we are to lay hold of, except for our own use, and put to work. He provides the ideas. We supply the work and activity necessary to translate them into supply and success that we are seeking. For what it's worth, I've got 2 cents worth of advice. It's really okay to start small. When I was a boy, we really had very little, but in a way it was great. As I think back, we never cried poor. And I learned to bless those rare little things, like ordering a pizza from Ricky's Pizzeria on Chicago Avenue, maybe twice a year. And the fun part of it is that I always got started with the kids digging through the cushions of the sofa to try to find loose change to help to pay for the stupid pizza. Or maybe taking that car ride once a summer from the city in which we lived out way out to Niles to go to Cock Robbins and enjoy a milkshake. I thought it was heaven. And thinking back now, I realize that it was. There is plenty, and there is plenty. There is God, and there is God. There is good, and then there is good. Wealth, things that are accumulated to try to overcome a sense of smallness, isn't prosperity. It isn't plenty. That is true poverty. When one realizes, out of a sense of self-worth and in relationship with God, is when good and plenty flows in ways that could not possibly be measured in dollars and cents. For Charlie Choo-Choo Charlie, it was good and plenty candy that made the train run. And so I invite you at this time to allow that thought that it's the good and plenty of God and the good and plenty that is part of each and every one of us at our core that makes us run and makes us enjoy the kingdom of God. And let's take this now into prayer and meditation.